Daybreak, Chapter 11, Part 3.
Luna, do sit up straight.
Luna jerked up. She found herself caught in a moment of navel-gazing, of contemplation, of concern for her sister and Twilight's condition. She looked across the table and saw two teenage alicorn mares also straightening their posture. It took up until then to realize that the comment wasn't directed at her. The dream had shifted while she hadn't been paying attention. Rather than in the midst of camp in the middle of Hurricane's training session, they were in the Crystal Empire. Queen Platinum sat at the head of the table. She had ascended to the throne when her father, King Pewter, had fallen ill. Shortly thereafter, he had fallen asleep one final time.
I'm so glad that you two could finally visit the Crystal Empire.
The silver unicorn gushed, her thick lips puckering.
I love the Empire, but Equestria called me away so many times. Well, I suppose that's up to Puddinghead and Hurricane to settle now, isn't it?
Teenage Celestia, maybe 17 or 18 by Luna's reckoning, smiled a saintly smile.
I'm sure we'll be fine. If we ever need your advice, you're merely a letter away.
Platinum smiled.
Thou really do know just what to say, Celestia.
Teenage Luna, on the other hoof, just looked out of the crystalline window into the whirling snow. She wore a frown that was growing more and more perpetual as the days went by, and the dreams moved forward. Luna winced as a flood of memories rushed back. No respect, no appreciation, no—
Luna, do check thy posture. A lady does not show discomfort with her face, only her fan.
Platinum fluttered a paper fan beside her cheek.
Consider this good practice for an event. If you two are to lead our armed forces, it behooves you to look the part of powerful, clever generals.
No end to the patronizing. Luna looked over at her double and couldn't ignore the dark gleam in her eye. The little preview of things to come that no pony noticed until it was too late. Luna rubbed the back patch of her coat, noting with dismay that her teenage body didn't have one. She sighed.
What that I were traveling through time and could actually change these events. Hm?
Celestia turned as the soup arrived.
Did that say something, Luna? Nay.
The teenage Luna replied. She lifted her spoon in a bubble of magic and, with a pointed look of platinum, eased a spoonful of soup into her mouth.
That's it, Luna. Grace, poise, and sophistication.
Platinum giggled into her fan.
Thou have a wonderful smolder that will have the colts falling all over thee.
She frowned at the chair on the far end of the table.
Speaking of such, I hope our other guest arrives soon, or he may miss the main course.
Celestia took a perfect dainty sip.
Your son, you said. Indeed. The boy's becoming a recluse, if thou asks me. Always studying and always working. But still, he'll be a fine king someday.
Platinum shivered with glee.
I'm so excited for thou to meet him. He's a bit older than thou, but he shares thy interest in magic. I'm sure that you three will have plenty to talk about.
Teenage Luna pursed her lips, her wings fidgeting behind her back.
What is his name?
The door opened. The guards moved to the side as a tall unicorn stallion walked through. He turned to Platinum and spoke in a deep, reverberating voice.
I'm sorry, Mother. My studies keep me a while longer than I wished.
The elder Luna, the one who had lived in memory before, nearly fell from her chair. She looked at Celestia and saw the breath catch in her throat. The stallion's gray coat shimmered with the power of the crystal ponies. His black mane flowed like water over his shoulders. His horn was expertly filed to a spiraling point. His deep green eyes bored into the hearts of every pony present, and he bowed his head.
It is an honor to finally meet the prophesied alicorns face to face. I am Prince Sombra.
Celestia stood up on shaky legs. She walks halfway down the table, much to the teenage Luna's confusion.
Is it you? Is it really you?
Prince Sombra frowned. He squinted at Celestia.
Have we met?
Celestia's eyes widened. She shook her head and forced a laugh.
Oh, no. No, of course not. No, you just reminded me of some pony else I know. I apologize.
Prince Sombra raised an eyebrow.
Nothing to apologize for, my lady. Mistakes do happen.
He chose to take a seat right next to the elder Luna, directly across from the two teen sisters.
Now then,
he said as the servant laid a dish in front of him.
I am most eager to hear of your adventures.
Always.
Luna opened her eyes. She stood up and shook her wings free of kinks and cramps. The afternoon sun shone through the balcony door of the Dreams Keep. None of the wall mirrors showed dreams in progress. Luna clicked her hoof against the marble floor, her face stony. She trotted down through the tower stairwell and into the main castle building. A servant trailed in her wake, doing his best to catch up to her long strides with the short pudgy legs.
Princess! Dear princess! Oh, for the love!
He huffed and pushed himself into a gallop. He reached her side and rubbed his monocle against his red overcoat.
Princess, may I have a word? Mr. Natter, you may have as many as you wish.
She forced herself not to smirk. It took some effort.
Provided you keep up. Bah!
Natter's face was already beginning to grow red beneath his blue coat.
Blue Blood insists that he has something to speak to you about Princess Celestia's condition. You were absent for your luncheon with the Griffin King and his family, as you have been for the past 3 days. 3, Princess!
He glared at her. She paid him no mind, but he still continued.
Shardskill wishes to speak to you about a potential infestation in the cemetery. There is also an opinion going around, increasing in popularity, that your statement after Princess Sparkle's disappearance from the public eye was dissatisfactory. I have taken the liberty of scheduling a press conference. No.
Luna said.
No press conference, no cameras or reporters. I will release a written statement myself, cancel the conference, or reschedule it for another speaker. But with all due respect, Princess, the ponies are hungry for— All due respect, scheduling advisor, but I am not about to risk endangering—
Luna stopped before a heavy wooden door. The symbol of the sun was painted on a lovingly carved shadow relief. Golden handles lay untouched for several weeks.
My sister.
She sucked on her cheek.
Tell Shardscale to speak with Stonewall about the cemetery. She's the captain of the guard. It's her job to handle things like this.
She lay a hoof on his shoulder.
Thank you, Royal Scheduling Advisor Natter, for your hard work and dedication. Kibbutz would be proud.
Natter cleared his throat and straightened his cravat.
Old Granddad taught me everything he knows. It shows.
Luna gestured down the hall.
Be on your way now, and I will do my utmost to join the Griffins for brunch tomorrow. I give you my word. Thank you, Princess.
He bobs his head.
Tally-ho, and good day.
Once he was out of sight, Luna opened the room, Celestia's private chambers. With no pony to tend to the fireplace, it had grown cold. What little warmth could be felt was an illusion, brought about by the bright curtains on the windows, silky sheets on the bed, and cheerful pictures on the wall. Most were of Twilight and her friends in Ponyville, but there were a few other subjects. The day Luna returned from the moon was front and center, over the mantel. Luna spent a moment staring at her image. She wore a garland around her neck and a tear in her eye. An end to the darkness, to the shadows, to the nightmare. She pulled herself away and walked up to a small potted tree. It was a head taller than her, its branches growing haphazard lengths without proper cultivation. Its leaves turned colors, the cold of the outdoors sneaking in to speak of winter sleep. Luna reached out to touch a shard of glass dangling from one branch. Her eye reflected on its mirrored surface. It was the final shard of a parallel world, the last proof that another Equestria, a twisted, dark doppelganger, even existed. On another branch, there was a ticket, a scrap of paper, shredded by time and magic. Across its surface, written in lovely, careful pen strokes, was one word.
Always.
The last proof of a love Celestia had lost to a mocking, cruel twist of fate.
So, sister, you met the kinds mirrored King Sombra before you met our world's cruel despot.
Luna sighed and stroked the leaves of the tree.
Perhaps this time I can be there to comfort you in your loss.
Taking a deep dive into wondering how villains would be if they weren't even villains to begin with is very interesting. Whether it be Sombra, T-Rex, Chrysalis, you name it. Now let's get on to our heavenly donators. Top donators TacoCat598, Peter Coltard, J-Tinman, Darkside, Gauntlet, and only one thing. Czar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Austin Roland, CrazyKiller557, Stu Hex, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Hedge, RuneSlayer9852, Hunter Norman, Stephen Bingham, LineGod12, and many more angelic people. Thank you all very much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.